Let us pray. Eternal God, you who call us to hear and obey, we still our hearts to listen for your voice, coming to us now, coming to us new, to give us life and set us free. Speak to us, for we are ready. Amen. A reading from Genesis. God tested Abraham. God said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. God said, Take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the boy, and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The word of life. Please stand for the Psalter. God, have you forgotten me forever? How long will I argue with myself about you, this dark pit in my heart, all day long? An answer, God, any answer. Let there be light in my eyes, not this sleep, this death. But I trust your kindness like the earth itself. You rescue me, and I rejoice. A reading from Romans. Don't let selfish anxiety rule over you and trap you in its desires. Don't offer yourself as a tool of injustice, but mindful that you have been brought from death to life, make yourself available to God as instruments of justice. Self-centered fear won't have any power over you because you are not subject to requirements. You are recipients of God's grace. Now, if we're not accountable to some rule book but receive God's grace, then shall we just haul off and do whatever we want? By no means. You will either enslave yourself to anxious fear, which leads to death, or to harmony with God, which leads to justice. Thanks be to God that even though you were once slaves of injustice, You have become obedient deep in your hearts to the way of living taught to you. Freed from your sin, you became forever committed to justice. I use these human metaphors because of your weak human nature. You used to let yourself get all bound up in selfishness and hurtfulness, but now allow yourselves to be made holy by being used as instruments of justice. When you were slaves of sin, you felt no need to work for justice. But what did it get you, other than being ashamed? The end of all that is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have offered yourself to God in obedience, you are made holy. You experience eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Don't think that I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring not peace, but a sword, and to set son against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. So that your foes will be in your own household. Anyone who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And those who will not take up their cross and follow me are not worthy of me. Those who cling to their life will lose it. But those who will let go of their lives for my sake will receive it." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The story of the binding of Isaac is sort of a creepy story for us. It's hard to imagine somebody being willing, intentionally and consciously, to sacrifice their child to God. And it's kind of creepy that God would ask for that. It's creepy for us because we don't believe in child sacrifice. But remember that 4,000 years ago, a lot of people did. It was quite common. And in fact, in part, this story might be the condensing of a culture outgrowing child sacrifice over generations. And it's told as if it happened all in one moment. But in fact, they gradually began to see God's demand in a different way. And of course, now we can look back and say, maybe in fact, God never was asking them to sacrifice their children. They were wrong. And now we see it differently. There's something truthful about that whole notion of sacrifice. There's something right about the fact that God does ask for everything from us. Right? God says, "I want your whole life. Don't hold anything back. No leftovers. I want everything. I want everything that's most important to you." That much is true. But the part about sacrificing your kid, that just is a little too much for us. And maybe it's too much partly because it's awful to think of having to murder your own child, but maybe also because we actually do think like that. The thinking behind child sacrifice, or any kind of sacrifice, is God demands that I give over something that's really important to me, even maybe the most important thing, like my firstborn child. Sorry, Blaine. Because if I don't, I mean Ben, for a minute he thought, I'm off the hook. Take the other one. Because you see, if you don't make this sacrifice, then the gods will be angry. And it's even better to sacrifice your sheep or even your children than to have the gods mad at you. Now, if you think that's a funny way of thinking, notice how all of the time, There are things that are real and important to us, and we sacrifice them in order to make people happy. And it's not even God we're talking about. There are things that we squelch and repress and bind up like Abraham binding Isaac. There are things that we sacrifice in order to appease the gods of getting along. A woman tells me that when she was in grade school, it was quite clear to her that she was way smarter than most of the boys in her class. And they hated that. And so she learned to just act a little dumber than she actually was so that they would like her. And then she could get along and have friends and not be ostracized. That intelligence of hers was her Isaac. That's what she sacrificed in order to appease, if not the gods, at least the boys in second grade. But we all do that. There are things that we don't do or don't talk about that are pretty important to us. And we sacrifice them in order to make people happy. Because we know that if we did say those things, if we did talk about that stuff, if we did follow that dream, somebody would be upset. Every family has a secret that you're not supposed to talk about. And you know that if you talked about it, you'd get in trouble. Even though the secret is usually about somebody else, and it's trouble, and it's not yours. There's a mother who's alcoholic. There's a father who's had an affair. There's mental illness. There was this secret business failure that nobody wants to talk about. There are all these things that families hide, and we keep them hidden in order to keep everybody happy, in order to appease the gods of getting along. And we know what happens when you're a whistleblower. You get fired. You know what happens when you say that the emperor has no clothes. Everybody yells at you. You know what happens when you start making your own choices instead of the choices that somebody else wants you to make. They get upset because everybody wants you to fit in. Families, more than any other unit in society, have this intense need for everything to be just so. And when you mess it up, they will haul you back in and make you just so, and you will pay for it. Jesus understood this. And that's what he's talking about when he says, I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. He's not talking about a sword of aggression or violent confrontation. What he's talking about is the sword of making choices, the cutting edge that separates everything I don't choose from what I do choose. Because it's your choices that set you apart as an individual. You can have all the feelings and all the preferences, all the ideas in the world, as long as you squelch them and fit in, you're okay. But when you make your own choice, you become who you decide you are going to be, then you are no longer what somebody else wants you to be, and they get upset. And that's what sets son against father, and daughter against mother, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's frequently the people who are closest to us that have the hardest time when we differentiate, when we become ourselves instead of what they want us to be. Jesus knows that this is going to be hard, that if you really are going to stand for what you believe in, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. And those people who are more interested in keeping mom and dad happy, who love mother and father more than me, well, then you're not interested in what I'm doing. Unless you are willing to take up your cross and suffer for standing for what you believe, you're not a part of what I'm doing. But when you are willing to give away this life that other people have defined for you, just let it go. You will receive a deeper, infinite kind of life. That's why so much of what Jesus did was not just healing people in the sense of medical cures. He was setting people free. He was unbinding all of those Isaacs that were being sacrificed. You notice how his healings, he called them acts of liberation. He talked about them in terms of setting people free to make their own choices, to be themselves. He would say things like, this woman who has been bound for 18 long years by Satan, shouldn't be she set free on the Sabbath? He would say, unbind him, let him go. Your faith has set you free. Jesus understood that. This week, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July, and we will celebrate some really cool things about this amazing experiment that we have going called America. And it's kind of a terrific deal. It's kind of cool that we have this country and this very cool stuff that we do and that makes us America. And tangled up in that is this thing that's not quite so cool, I think. There will be this talk thanking all those soldiers who have kept us free. This is what God says. No soldier in any war in all of human history has ever set you free. I do. It's God that makes us free. The people in Nazi Germany were perfectly free. They were just afraid. They were free to make their own choices. They just didn't. And we are just as oppressed. We let lots of other people make our choices for us instead of making our own choices and using that sword that separates us from other people, separates what we choose from what we don't choose, regardless of the cost. It's God who wants us to be free to be ourselves. It's God who wants us to honor those things within us that are important. The amazing thing about the story of Abraham and Isaac is not that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but that God did not want that to happen. That God interrupts him and says, do not harm that boy. Unbind him. Set him free. I bet there is an Isaac bound up in you. There is something in you, maybe a memory of something hurtful, maybe a passion that you would like to pursue, but you can't. You've kept it bound up in order to keep people happy. Maybe it's a wound that you can't talk about. Maybe it's a dream that you're not supposed to pursue. Maybe it's something that you really care about and other people make fun of you. Maybe it's a part of yourself that you've never been able to set free. What does it feel like when you hear God say, do not harm that child? Unbind your Isaac and set that gift free. You are free to be yourself. Paul understands that when we talk about being free, we're under a lot of delusion. We think freedom means the permission to do whatever the heck I want. And Paul says, whatever the heck we want is being enslaved to all of our desires and our fears and all that selfish anxiety. It's our human nature. So Paul says, instead of being slaves to sin, let's be intentional and conscious about being slaves to God. Because God is the only one who really, actually wants us to be free. Unbind your Isaac. There is life in that. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we lift up to you those memories and feelings, those passions and dreams, those wounds and fears that we have been convinced we can't talk about. We can't bring out into the open. Help us to unbind them, to become free. God of grace, we give you thanks for your infinite love, your desire to set us free. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.